And while they transition out, I just want to invite my husband forward. Invited Tom to share. He doesn't often get up here to speak, but I wouldn't be doing what I do here on Sunday mornings if I didn't have Tom. So I want to just listen to the Word of God as Tom reads from James chapter 5.
I think yours better.
You can use mine.
Can you find it?
Yes.
You're better at me than that. It's better than this version.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, it's funny because preaching on this, Dan referencing this, and now I'm reading what Dan just referenced. Ooh. It's goosebumpy. It really is. Let's see. So I'm reading James 5. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Ouch. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look! The wages you fail to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Ouch. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word, O God. And I pray, God, that you help me today, O God, to explain it in a way that would just touch your people's hearts, God, to understand your cry for the people that you love. And I thank you for this time to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the book of James. I've heard from so many people that it's been one of the most, like you were saying, a favorite book. This has been a great time in the book of James. When I was doing the color walk last week, Nicole was saying that this is her favorite book, and she is just so happy that we've been and settling in it and going over it. You know, it's the kind of thing where I took 1 week per chapter, but honestly, I mean, you could stay in James forever. I mean, that's like anything in the Word of God, right? The more you enter in and settle in, you realize that each verse could be another sermon. And so I know I'm doing an overview of the book and I can't go into depth with all things, but honestly, take some time. I hope you're reading this at home. I hope you have a study Bible. I hope that you are going through some of these passages on your own and allowing God to speak to your heart the way that he needs to speak to you. I can only say so much on a Sunday morning, but there's so much to be had. So get into your word when you get home. Go back and read chapter 5 again. Read the whole book. It only takes a few minutes. And just let God really speak to you. Amen? So what we've been talking about over the entire book of James, James 1, Pastor Grant was here that first week and talked about persevering through trials, that we have joy because of what we go through, because of what we have at the end, that blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. It also talked to us about being slow to speak and slow to become angry, right? God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We need to use these more and this less. Don't just hear the word, but be doers of the word, right? It's one thing to have a knowledge of God's word, but if it means nothing, if it yields nothing, then it's for nothing. We can't keep it all up in here and actually have no real use for it in our lives. And then James chapter 2, we talked about not showing favoritism. If somebody were to come into the church, and would we look upon them differently depending on where they came from or where they dressed, and how we are exhorted not to do that. And then the second part of that chapter was faith in deeds. What does our faith look like? Does it actually take flight? Does we actually do something with our faith? And that true faith will have deeds, because without it, it's not really a saving faith. In James 3, we talked about taming the tongue and how that was a difficult message for a lot of people. We realize about what we say and what we do, but also it's what we think and what we're doing with our thumbs. So we tame our tongue, our thoughts, and our thumbs in order to see God's kingdom and then to seek God's wisdom, right? Not worldly wisdom, but God's wisdom. And that helps disciple us and have us do what God would have us do with our faith. And then James 4, last week we talked about submitting to God or submitting to the devil, resisting God or resisting the devil, and that by not making a choice, we, by default, are making a choice. We need to choose to submit to God and resist the devil, amen? And so now today we finish up the series with James chapter 5. And I do propose that this kind of ties everything in. You know, it's a good writer here. James is saying, okay, there's all these things that I'm telling you, and right here I'm going to bring it into a close and tell you why this matters. I believe it's a justice issue. Just what you said, the whole book is about justice. God's justice. If we are seeking God's kingdom here on earth, his rule, his reign, then justice is the center. Justice for all God's people. And we sang this morning. This is one of the reasons I chose that song. On earth as it is in heaven. We want to see kingdom reign here. We want to exist in God's kingdom here. He promised that his kingdom would be here as it is in heaven. That's how he taught us to pray. We can experience that here. So let's break this down a little bit. In verses 1 through 6 in chapter 5, he's talking about the rich people. You know, honestly, it's not a tirade against having wealth in and of itself, right? We know that the root of all evil is the love of money. It's not money in itself. God gives us every good and perfect gift. He gives us things to do something with, right? This whole thing, authentic faith we're talking about for 5 weeks. What are we doing with this faith? What are we doing with what God has given us? The faith that he's giving us and the material possessions that we have. What are we doing to bless others? It certainly is a charge against those that acquire wealth and hoard it for themselves, even cheating those less fortunate in order to obtain that wealth. And he says that wealth will accuse you. It will cry out against you. I want to read another passage from you from Deuteronomy 24:15. And this is in the Mosaic Law. So as James is writing, they were very familiar with what God's dictates were in the law and what we're expected to do. And it says in Deuteronomy, you must pay them their wages, the workers. You must pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and counting on it. If you don't, they might cry out to the Lord against you and it would be counted against you as sin. You're talking about people that were waiting in the marketplace to be hired each and every day that might not have the means to pay anything. And if they're working for the day, they're expecting to be paid at the end of the day so they could eat, so they could feed their families. And to remove that from them is as good as murder. What if that was the one day that they were going to starve and you held back what you had to give? So God is saying that counts against you as sin. That wealth is crying out against you because you're not doing with it what God would have you do. It could also be an allusion to Abel's blood, right? In Genesis, when Cain murdered Abel, it said that Abel's blood cried out to God for justice. God is a God of justice. Or the Israelites groaning under Egyptian oppression, right? In Exodus, both of which are protests against injustice. James' comparison of the oppression of the poor to these former incidents highlights the severity of the offense and conveys God's care for those that are exploited. That is the heart of our God. Christians who have a lot of money or possessions must be determined not to be possessed by their wealth. And what does it mean to be possessed by their wealth? Controlled, driven, motivated by it. It's, again, this is my third week, it's a heart issue. What is it you're doing with the things that God has given you? What is going on in your heart that makes you choose the things that you do? It should be the means to advance the message and purpose of Christ and to help those in need. Now, I don't know who this person is that has stepped forward and to take their money and invest it in Unshackled TV. Is Libby up here? Do you have my phone? Oh, who does? It won't matter. I digress. This is somebody that's using their wealth for the advancement of God's kingdom, okay? Somebody believes in this ministry and in the Word of God that they're taking that money and they're investing it. I'm so overwhelmed by the passion of that person. And that's somebody that's been blessed by God but doing the right things. This week when we were in Exponential, I read again to the ladies. I said, I can't believe it. Here's another testimony. Somebody in Poland coming to faith in Christ through that ministry. I thank you, whoever you are, and I thank you for your obedience and that we get to partner with we get to partner in order to bring the gospel beyond our community. And I'm so overwhelmed and so humbled. Let's move on. Verses 7 through 11. It says, to be patient then, in brothers, in suffering until the Lord's coming. Be patient in persecution. Be patient in being oppressed. Sounds easier said than done, doesn't it? But you know what? First century Christians were expecting the return of the Lord at any time. They expected to see the return of Christ in their lifetime. The Lord is near. He says he's at the door. And you know that that's exactly the case for us? The Lord is near. He is at the door. Nobody can predict the time and the place of his return. And we talked about last week of being knowing that tomorrow is not promised to us. And so the decisions we make today are the only decisions that we are given a right to, because tomorrow's not promised. And so knowing that and knowing your faith and knowing what you have, are you making a difference today for eternity, for the sake of somebody else's eternity, making those choices? We must be patient. Patience is the character trait that we need so that we can interact graciously with all people and endure injustice, suffering, trouble, and mistreatment while staying true to God and trusting him to make all things right in the end. James also reminds the church of the suffering of the prophets through this, and that even though you're doing the right thing and you're following after God, you know, like God just bragged on Job, right? Check out my servant Job. Look at him. He's doing everything right. But did it mean that nothing was going to happen to him? No, just the opposite, right? It's what we're talking about today, right after worship, right? Just because you're doing the right thing doesn't mean stuff isn't going to happen. And for Job, everything was removed from him, but never once did he deny his God. Not once did he curse God. So we have the suffering of the prophets, and so sometimes that's us. We are called, if we're going to serve God, to suffer, to go under trials and persecutions, but to hold fast and to continue to profess Christ. Above all, my brothers, he says in verse 12, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Our witness is our word, right? We need to think before we speak. We need to make sure that we don't make commitments lightly. That's in the church and that's outside of the church. When you say you're going to do something, please do it. If you're wearing the banner of Christian, I confess Christ, I follow Christ, this is what I do, please make your yes be yes. And your no be no. It's okay to say no, all right? There's permission right there to say no. Do we know we overcommit? Anybody else overcommit? And then we're stuck in a position where we have to maybe back out of something we said yes to. But we need to make sure that our yes is yes and our no is no, that truth is always coming out of our lips. Again, going back to taming our tongue and what we say. We represent Christ, and what we say matters. Be true to what you say. Keep your commitments. And finally, James teaches on healing, and this is what I'm going to focus on here for a few minutes. Verses 13 through 20. Is any of you in trouble? We should pray. Is anybody happy? Pray. And then it said, anyone sick? You know, sickness comes in various forms, right? We can be physically sick. That's the manifestation of a lot of things, but oftentimes physical sickness is caused by other things. Spiritual sickness, emotional sickness. And so we need to seek healing in all areas so that we're whole in every area of our life. Healing, then, is physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional. To follow his entire letter with a section on healing indicates that there might be some things within the church that needed healing. When he's talking to the brothers and sisters, that they need healing. And he gives an example of what to do in healing. There might be some things personally, and there might have been some things corporately that needed healing. And here he gives a reminder that we have a way in which to seek healing. Go to the elders, have them anoint you, and pray for you. And that we're going to do that at the close of worship today, if anybody needs prayer. So I'm just going to set that right now. So if God is speaking to you, he's like, I need prayer today, good. We're going to anoint for healing in all of those areas. The key is prayer and faith. Now, first he tells us that we're in trouble to pray, right? If we're happy to sing. And with sickness is an appropriate way to seek healing. The first is confession. Now, I'm not going to stand beside you and say that all sickness is caused by sin, okay? Let me just get that right out of the box. Because we live in a fallen world. Sickness is sickness. But there is the case to be made that some sickness is caused by sin. Undisclosed, hidden sin. Things that we're dealing with is causing stress. It might not be your sin. It might be somebody else's sin upon you that causes sickness in your body. So first we confess. And I just want to mention too that in this passage it says that, you know, to go and confess one another. That is not widely throughout the New Testament. So here it's descriptive but not normative. Meaning though, so when you look at the book of James, you're not going to say this is what the book of James says, so this is what we absolutely have to do all the time. you understand the difference between descriptive and normative? Descriptive describes something that's happening in this particular situation. Normative is something that you see in a pattern that then we hold fast to as being the thing that we should be doing. But this is descriptive here. So it's one option. But let me talk about that. We need to confess one another, confess to God. Then we need to pray for each other. One of the things that I've gotten in the habit of doing is if somebody shares something that's going on or they ask me for prayer, I normally pray right then and there. All right? And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Pray with that person right there. If somebody says, you know, I have a job interview on Thursday, you know, just pray right there. Because who knows, we get busy and then we're not praying for one another. And again, make your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're saying, I'm going to pray for you, make sure you're praying for that person. Keep your word. Prayers are powerful and effective. So we confess, we pray, and then we're healed. And to expect a healing, to expect what God can do. I know that God is my healer. I know that he's a healing God. I know that by his stripes we are healed. And so I hold fast to those promises. Sometimes we don't see that healing in our lifetime, but we continue to pray knowing that God is our healer and knowing that we can have faith in that. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, it does not say the prayer of a perfect person is powerful and effective, okay? So if you are walking in right relationship with God, if you're in right standing with God, if you're going in God's way, if you're following after him and following after his will, okay, your prayers are going to be powerful and effective. Now, if you're living in disobedience and you're running away from God, not as powerful, right? God wants to line up with you. When your prayers, we want to line up our lives with God so that our prayers are powerful and effective, right? Not perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus, but someone that's seeking to serve God and follow his will. And these are the promises in God's word for us to hold on to regarding prayer, that those who are in a right relationship with God and continually rely on him to do what is right, their prayers will. And I'm going to give you a bunch of promises. You ready? This is what our prayers do for us. Our effective, powerful prayers. We brings us near to God, Hebrews 7. It opens the way to a spirit-filled life, Luke 11. Brings us power for ministry, Acts 1. Builds us up spiritually, Jude 1. Gives us insight into Christ's provision for us, Ephesians 1. Helps us overcome Satan, hallelujah, Daniel 10. Clarifies God's purposes for us. Psalm 32, prayer enables us to receive spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14. It brings us closer relationship with God, Matthew 6. Brings us grace, mercy, and peace, Philippians 4. It brings others who are spiritually lost into relationship with Christ. That's in verse 20 in here. It brings us wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ, Ephesians 1. Brings us healing, verse 15 in here. Brings us rescue from trouble. Psalm 34, it honors God with praise and thanksgiving. Our prayers honor God. Psalm 100, it makes Christ's presence more real to us. Revelation 3:20, and ensures us of our final salvation in Christ's intercession on our behalf. That's in Hebrews. So we have a lot of promises if we pray. Like James said, confess and pray and believe that God is going to heal. And he does all these things through our prayer. James shares the example of Elijah, showing the power of prayers of a righteous man, right? He prays for 3 years and it doesn't rain, and it doesn't rain. That's a powerful prayer to affect nature and everything. And then he prays for it to rain. And if you know the story, he just keeps praying. He puts his head down, prays and prays and prays and prays. And waits. Do you see anything? No, not yet. Praise and praise and praise. Just keep believing for the rain. And then God opens up the heavens to bring the rain because of Elijah's righteous life in right standing with God and his powerful, powerful prayer life, believing in a God that hears and answers his prayers. And then James then concludes with the best use of prayer, bringing someone to salvation. and covering their sins with the blood of Jesus. What better use of our prayers than continuing to pray for those that are lost and far from God, to bring them into relationship with God, and then to have their sins covered, to be saved. So why all of this is a justice issue, like I said in the beginning? Well, what's the definition of justice? And I'm going to give you a few. A concern for justice. Oh, I'm sorry, just behavior or treatment. That's the first one. And then a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. Here's some synonyms. Fairness, justness, fair play, fair-mindedness, equity, even-handedness, impartiality, objectivity, neutrality, disinterestedness, honesty, righteousness, morals, and morality. So honestly, if we go back through all that we've learned through the book of James about talking about everything that I talked about in the beginning, persevering, do not show favoritism, faith in our deeds, taming what we say, submitting to God, all of that. These behaviors that have been encouraged, the behaviors that have been discouraged, the exhortation not to judge one another, to use our material goods to bless one another, to pray for each other, this is all justice. Every last part of it. How we speak to one another reflects how we believe people stand, how we see Christ in them. If we talk down to people, if we demean people, if we gossip, it means that we think that people are less than. And again, that's a justice issue. It's setting ourselves higher than everybody else. If we are judging people as they come in and judging people that are not even in the church, that's a justice issue. We are seeing people as less than, not worthy, and somehow we are more than worthy. If we are using our wealth and the blessings from God to benefit self and nobody else, that's a justice issue. We are ignoring what true faith is, to help the poor, the needy, the widows, those that need our help. And so I will always encourage this church to give to missions, to constantly pour out what God has so abundantly blessed this church with. Because it's not about hoarding. It's not about gathering wealth for ourselves and building kingdoms here. It's building God's kingdom throughout the world. And so we will always, always partner with missions and missionaries. Those that are willing to get outside of their comfort zone and continue to bring God's word. And you know what? Honestly, that's all of us too, right? How comfortable are we? How willing are we to be uncomfortable for the sake of Christ? To be able to attack this like it is a justice issue, to look at one another and realize that we are so blessed and that we need to continually pour that out. We are all equal in the sight of God. And as Christ's ambassadors on earth, our hearts, our eyes need to be aligned with His, to seek God's heart in all things, that we seek to look upon each other and each person as our equal. And as we seek God's rule and reign here on earth, as it is in heaven, and that's where we're promised that there's no tears, no more pain, no more death, and certainly no partiality, as we are all equal in the presence of God. We need to live that out as Christians. Amen? One of the things that I heard was from Michael Frost, and he was a wonderful speaker at Exponential. And I'm going to suggest one thing. Now, he has a bunch of things that he has his church do, but this week, in order to kind of get beyond ourselves and move beyond thinking of ourselves, I'm going to just give you one assignment before we move to prayer. It's to be a blessing. So three times this week, I would like you to bless somebody. Now, blessings can take different forms. They can be a material gift, you know, buy the person's coffee and backy or whatever. But I'd like it to be personal if it can, okay? So you're actually interacting with somebody eye to eye, face to face. It can be a word of encouragement. So that's a blessing to a lot of people. It can be a physical gift. It can be an act of service. But to bless somebody outside the church? Bless somebody inside the church? And the third one's an option, outside or inside. Okay? So we're going to be a blessing to somebody outside the church, somebody that doesn't believe, somebody that does believe, and the other ones, you're up to you. Think we can do that this week? Do you think if we got in the pattern of doing that all the time, it would make a difference? I do. So until we see God's kingdom here on earth, he's instructed us to pray. In the beginning of his prayer, says this, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So before we close today, like I said, I really wanted to encourage you to come for prayer, to come for healing. And there's different levels of healing. Like I said, physical healing, maybe something's manifesting itself in your physical body. Maybe there's a longstanding wound that you really have to release to God today and have him heal a place in your heart. Come forward for healing. I'm going to anoint everybody that comes forward. And you can either share what you need prayer for or just come for the anointing and just come to have a prayer said over you for the healing of whatever that might be. You don't have to share everything, but you can. And Tony, sorry, he's praying back there. Would you pray for the men and I'll pray for the ladies? Would you be willing? Thank you. And you can share my oil, okay? And, if you don't know, Tony's part of the Christian Healing Ministry, and I like to enable Tony to use his gifts and his passion. So so come on up, Tony, and we're just going to open up the altars for prayer before we close today. As the girls are going to be singing Healer, we're going to believe God for healing, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And then after we close today, if you don't want prayer, you can quietly leave this area, and that's okay, or you can stay and pray for one another. Just lift a hand forward and pray for anybody that comes forward. It's completely up to you. I know Dan will be in the lobby, and meet with him, talk with him, encourage him too in his journey and his family. He's got littles, he's got a wife and a family, and they need our prayers. Amen. So come forward if you seek prayer today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We just give you thanks today, God, that you truly are more than enough. You are more than enough for us, oh God, and that you are our healer, oh God. And today, Lord, as we come before you in seeking prayers of healing and a healing touch for all different areas of our life, oh God, we just come expecting, oh God, that through your Holy Spirit, God, you are answering these prayers even now. And so, God, in expectation, God, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to, even in this moment, give you thanks. To be grateful, oh God, in our hearts for what you're about to do and what you're already doing. So we give you all the glory today, all the honor. Blessing be unto your name for what you are doing through your people, oh God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Be with your people this week, oh God, as they come and they go. Keep them safe, God, and bring them into wholeness. Bring them into relationship, not only with you, but with others, oh God, as we seek to see your kingdom come. And we ask all these things. And if you're in agreement with me, all God's people say, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, church.